Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is the king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah once again for allowing us to come before you to bring to you his great, holy, exalted words. This week, or tonight rather, we will be dealing with one of the last questions that we did not have an opportunity to deal with in detail that we dealt with at our last conference. And that is the question that was asked: will we need money during this time of trouble? Trouble was prophesied upon our people and the world. And will we need money during this time? And of course, we talked to our beautiful brothers and sisters, as well as the leaders. And there was just a mixed view of the various thoughts that people share with us. Some said you would. Some said you would not. Some said you might need money, but not to save your life. And some said it will be useful, but it won't deliver you. So we had a lot of different opinions on whether you would need money or not. And make no mistake about it, when trouble comes to this land, one of the key things, one of the principal things, and not just one principal thing, but certain things that you just got to have before the trouble take place. And these things will help you to be able to discern whether you will need money in this time of trouble. And I want you to exercise your heart and mind now, whether you will or won't. But let me show you a few things that you're definitely going to need, whether you need money or you don't. And let me just go ahead and tell you the truth, because I like just telling you the truth and then prove it. I like the bottom line. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You can attempt and try to understand everything he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, but at the end of the day, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And the truth is, you're always going to need money, especially during the time of trouble. especially during that time. Now, let me prove to you why. But there are certain things that you're going to, you need to know whether you believe you're going to need money or not. For example, in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and this is why you know the trouble of our people will be great. And you're about to see why. In the book of Proverbs, we're going to start reading at the 18th verse. And this is what it says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keeps the law. In some books, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. So the very first thing you got to have, if you're going to have any money, or if you're going to endure trouble, you got to have vision. And a lot of our people don't have vision. And as a result of that, they are typically either consumed, derailed, or knocked off course in the time of trouble. Because they didn't have vision of the trouble before it came. Nobody visualized trouble except for Yahweh. But if you are Yahweh's servant and you understand vision, then you can't just visualize good things. You can't just visualize everything going right. What if things go wrong? Then what are you going to do? And you never visualized it. And this is why the scriptures say where there is no vision, the people perish. And our people perish in all time as a result of the lack of vision they have, especially in the day of trouble. And you just can't have your own vision. Your vision must be a vision born out of the thoughts of the Most High. Because our visions won't allow us to see nothing. This has been a great downfall of our people. No vision. The second thing that I see that you got to have in the day of trouble, especially if you're going to have money, and if money is important, you're going to have this in the book of Psalms 133. First thing, you got to have vision. Because you can have money, but if you don't have vision, the people perish. Still, because you never have vision. But even if you have vision, if you don't have this, then the people still going to perish. All your vision will come to naught. And this is what it says in the book of Psalms 133, the very first verse. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yahweh commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. So you got to have unity. Vision allows you to be able to see things, but unity allows you to get things done. One way, one aim, one guard. You got to have oneness. You got to have unity. This is why our trouble posed a very great dilemma and problem for our people, because there's no vision, and we don't even have to tell you whether there's unity or not, because there's no unity. And what it takes to have vision and what it takes to have unity is great humility. And as we can see, who want to do that? Who want to humble themselves? Today, we got time. We really have time. But is that time running out? Is it running out? Will we need money during the time of trouble? Of course we will. And I'm going to show you that we're going to need money. But it won't mean nothing if you have no vision. Nor will it mean anything if you have no unity. Furthermore, in the book of Psalms 127, this is really number one, but we can put it at number three because somebody had to be it. And watch what it says in Psalms 127:1. And I'm showing you things that must happen. You got to, it has to take place. You must possess in order for you to have money during the time of trouble. You don't have vision. You don't have unity. And if you don't have this right here, Psalms 127:1, unless Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless Yahweh keeps the city, the watchman waits but in vain. Everything is vain unless Yahweh. Ain't the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain? For Yah will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. So unless Yahweh build a house, they that labor in vain that builds it. And here you can see clearly that you got to have vision, or you will perish. You got to have unity, or your vision is for naught. And you got whatever you're doing, whatever you're building, whatever you're unifying over, whatever your vision is about, unless Yahweh build it, they that labor in vain, that builds it. And what is number four? Well, number four is in the book of Nahum. And I love this scripture here. My love sisters taught me this scripture, and I love it. Ever since she showed this to me. It's in the book of Nahum, the first chapter, the seventh verse. It says, Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. That's what Yahweh is, a stronghold. And we're going to need a stronghold in the day of trouble. But this is the part that I want you to see. And he knows them that trust in him. And so the Creator knows the people that trust him. And he knows the people he going to allow have money and do the things that he desire and pleasure to be done. So this endeavor is not for everybody, because Yahweh know him who trusts him. So he know when he bless you, he knows the people who will do the right thing, that has the right resources to do it. And I'm going to show you what you got to have once you have the resources. Two more things. One of those things, we pointed out vision, unity. You got to let Yahweh build this. And you got to trust in Yah. And Yah know him that trusts him, especially in the day of trouble. But some Yahweh told Joshua when he went to take on the land is something Yahweh let us know in the book of Psalms also, 37. And what we're talking about, and we hadn't gotten to the meat of it yet, well, we need money during the time of trouble. And the answer is yes, and we're going to prove to you you're going to need it. It says in Psalm 37, the 39th verse, but the salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. He is their strength in time of trouble. Yahweh is their strength. In other words, he's your stronghold, so that only means you have to be strong. Just like he told Joshua. Let me show you what he told Joshua and why your strength is important. He told Joshua this in Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, the first chapter, the sixth verse, he said, be strong and of good courage, for to this people shall you divide for inheritance of the land, which I swore to your fathers to give them. And then he said in the seventh verse, only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moshe, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And watch the 9th verse. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, be ye dismayed, for Yahweh, your Elohim, is with you wherever you go. And I don't want to skip this 8th verse, because it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Who doing that? Meditate day and night in the word of Yahweh, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And you want good success, but you got to be strong and you got to be courageous. Also, we talked about vision, unity, unless Yahweh build this house, they that labor in vain to build it, trusting in Yah, and letting Yahweh be your strength. All these things are very, very necessary and important. And all of it will yield you prosperity and success. And this is the thing that will bless you in the end. And you'll find this in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. Because this determines a lot. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, and this is what it says. The 12th verse. For wisdom is a defense. In other words, you need wisdom for defense. Money is a defense. And you also need money to defend. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. So there's no comparison between wisdom and money. Both are defense. Both you need. But one excels the other one light years, because only one of them will give you life, and that is wisdom. But you got to have wisdom when you're talking about money, especially in the time of trouble. And the money that our people blow today is money that they, that wisdom teach, could help them tomorrow. But who got time to be thinking about wisdom? Who got time to be talking about their defense? Who got time to be talking about visualizing what's to come, whether it's good or bad. And don't even talk about unity, because money break unity all up. It'll tear unity down. So what are you going to do when you need money? First of all, you got to first see the wisdom of why you will need money in the time of trouble. Because there's many people who believe money is not going to help them. And that's not true. Money will help you a great deal. Why do you think the scripture says money is a defense? And where is your defense at? Where is your vision? Where is your unity so that you can build in Yahweh? And let me show you a few scriptures so you can understand what we mean. Watch this in the book of Psalms 41. Show you this. The mass majority of the people who will have money during the time of trouble, they're not thinking about you. They're not thinking about nobody else. The money that they have, they're only thinking about themselves. And ask yourself, if they're not helping you now, what makes you think they're going to help you in the future when the trouble happens? If they're not helping you now, they're not going to help you then. Make no mistake about it. They're going to tell you, they warned you, they told you, and it's your fault if you didn't prepare yourself. But not with the righteous. That's why I gave you seven different signs of the righteous. And if you remember one of those signs, then you would understand what I mean. We're in the book of Psalms 41. And watch what it says. The very first verse. Blessed is he that considers the poor. Yahweh will deliver him in the time of trouble. What kind of wisdom is that? With a sound wisdom. Because little people know why everybody running scared trying to help theyself. Little do they know Yahweh is raising up people to help others during the time of trouble. So you got people who are help self. And then you got people who raise up to deliver and to save others during the time of trouble. And how do you think they're going to save anybody during the time of trouble? Well, there's only two things you can have that Yahweh said is a defense. And he said wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. And when do you need that defense? When trouble comes. And who will give you the ability to have the wisdom and to have the defense that you will have during this time? Well, the one that you allow to be. And show you that in the book of Psalms, the 9th chapter. Will you need money during the time of trouble? How are you going to help somebody? Unless you're just thinking about yourself, which most people do during a time of trouble. And this is why their lack of vision, their lack of unity, will not yield them prosperity and success. In the book of Psalms, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse, watch what it says. Yahweh also will be a refuge. And what is a refuge? A refuge is a protection, it's a defense. Yahweh also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And how will Yahweh do that? Well, he will give you wisdom. And oftentimes, he will give you money. Yes, in the time of trouble. Because he's not giving you money to help yourself. He's giving you money to help other people. Because when the trouble hits, a lot of people will need help. And they can't go to their oppressors. That's the last thing they will be able to do, is go to their oppressors. So they're going to have to go to somebody that actually believes in Yahweh. But most people are not thinking about helping other people in trouble. They thinking about helping their self, making sure they're straight. But then you got others who have a heart for other people. This is why Yahweh say, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Because if you think this high about yourself, to help yourself, to do for self, then the love that you would display is also and should also be for your brother man. And just so you can see, this story concerning trouble and what you will need during this time. You go to the book of Genesis. Genesis 45. And watch what this says. The very first verse. And don't forget the question. Will we need money during this time of trouble? In Genesis 45, Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him and cried, cause every man to go out free. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept out loud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. In other words, his brothers, and this happened all the time. That's why it takes wisdom. Here it is, his brothers sold him into Egypt. And their thoughts was to do evil to their brother. But what they meant for bad, Yahweh meant it as good. What they thought to do for death, Yahweh thought to do to preserve life. And this is what I ask people a lot of times, just to see their wisdom. Is the glass half full or half empty? And I just like to hear the answers, to see how the mind think. Here we are, the sixth verse, or fifth verse. Now, therefore, not grieve, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. This is what Yahweh sent me here for. While y'all was being nasty and rude, and one your brother's keeper, one your brother, acting like my brother at all. No, Yahweh, he knew y'all was going to act this way. Knew y'all was going to sell me. But he wanted that to happen, to save not only y'all, but other people. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. And here it is, some people, they'll talk about people like a dog, and they don't even know the vision and thoughts of the Most High. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, master of all his house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste you and go up to your father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, Elohim has made me master of all Egypt. Come down unto me and wait not. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. And you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And watch what he said. And there will I nourish you. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. it is. Our people know trouble coming to this land. But where are the storehouses? Yourself got storehouses together. But where is Israel's storehouses today in Babylon? Where is Israel unity today concerning the trouble that's to come? And where is the vision? So that people will not perish. For where there is no vision, the people perish. So how are you going to stop people from dying and you have no vision for the trouble to come? And the scriptures already told us wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. So where is the wisdom and where is the money? And behold, I see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin that it is my mouth that speaks to you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall haste and bring down my father here. He had a vision. One might say, well, yeah, that was of the Most High. Almighty gave him that. Well, if he gave him that, why would the Almighty give us vision? And why would we do anything different than a vision that came to him? Unless we don't have vision. And watch this. I just want you to see what happened. You can see for yourself that there was great trouble in the land. In the book of Genesis 47. And this is what it says. In the book of Genesis 47. We're going to start reading at the 13th verse. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. In other words, he didn't just have a storehouse. Joseph had a store where people can come buy what they needed in the time of trouble. So this time of trouble was turned into a whole enterprise. And when they needed it, only one person had it, and that was yourself. And watch the 15th verse. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt, and it did fail, and it will fail here in America, and in the land of Canaan, it failed there. In other words, there was no money more to spend. All the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money fails. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fails. And they brought their cattle world to yourself. And yourself gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle, other herds, and for the donkeys. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And when that year had ended, they came to him the second year. And he said to him, "We will not hide it from our master how that our money is spent. My master also has our herds of cattle. There is not anything left in the sight of the master but our bodies and our lands. Why shall we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants to Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Yosef bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. In other words, this is a time of trouble. It don't even sound like it's trouble, but this was severe trouble. But somebody, what I'm going to show you, not only had wisdom within, they had money. And wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. But where is Israel's wisdom and where is their money? Watch what it says. "As for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not. For the priests had a portion assigned them by Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore they sold not their land. Then Yosef said to the people, 'Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Behold, here's your seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that you shall give the fifth part to Pharaoh.'" You know what a fifth is? A fifth is 20%. And we're going to talk about this fifth. We already been talking about this fifth, as well as this 20%. This 20. "And four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for food for them of your households, and for food for your little ones." And they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my master, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Yosef made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. Now watch this. Now you see the people. They sold, they spent all their money until the money failed, because this is a time of trouble. The money failed. Now watch this. The horses, the flocks, the cattle, the donkeys, five different things that they had. And actually seven, because they sold their bodies and their lands. I mean, it just became complete. What was it again? Their money, their horses, their flocks, their cattle, their donkeys,
bodies. And their lands. Seven different things. Totally complete and destroyed. But Yahweh had a deliverer there. He had a helper there. As Yahweh always do. But as they were going through this same thing, watch the 27th verse, what Israel is going through. 27th verse, Genesis 47. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein, and grew, and multiplied exceedingly. While everybody was going down, Israel was coming up. Where people was losing, Israel was gaining. And there's a time to lose, but there's also a time to gain. And during this time of trouble, Israel was gaining. But I'm going to show you why. 28 verse. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so that the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And let me show you why. Israel was gaining and everybody else was losing. Let's see where this all began. It all began in Genesis 41. I want you to see this. That's why I said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we got to have vision. But the vision is not ours. It is Elohim's. Watch this in Genesis 41. And we're going to start reading. The 25th verse, 41 and 25. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one because he had a vision. And Elohim has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. And did not Yahweh say he will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets? In other words, Pharaoh didn't know nothing. He had to call for somebody to interpret this dream. 26th verse. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I've spoken to Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he shows to Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. In other words, they're going to have seven good years. But you know how it is. People don't consider things when things get real good. They never consider that, man, these 7 years, man, it's just been glorious. It's just been real good. And they never thought. They never considered that ceiling was going to fall in. The floor was going to drop. Man, this is good. And they thinking it's always going to be good. Let me get without thinking. One day, we're going to have to lose. So let us prepare. No. That's not what their thoughts was. I'm going to read this 30th verse again. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. All the plenty. All 7 years of it. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine fallen. For it shall be very grievous. And here it is today. We know trouble is coming to this land. We even know famine coming to this land. So where is the defense? Where's the defense? Verse 32. And for that, the dream was doubled to Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise. Now, watch this. And set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. And let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay it up, and lay up the corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And where is our store? Israel, for the famine to come. Where's our store? You can forget a store when the trouble comes. The time you want the store is in the years of plenty. And our people right now, they got plenty because they wasted a lot of stuff, a lot of money, a lot of time. And if you got time to waste and money to waste, as our people are doing today, then surely they got time for a store and money for a store. But how can you do that without vision? How can you do that without unity? How can you do that without Yahweh? How can you do that without being strong, courageous, trusting in Yah? How can you do it without wisdom and money? Watch what it says. 37th verse. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the spirit of Elohim is? Can we find somebody like that?" Is Israel looking for somebody with that type of spirit? Can Israel discern one in whom the spirit of Elohim is? Can they make that Can they discern such a thing? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "For as much as Elohim has shown you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. This is how the story begins. And it actually began before that. Years before that. When Yosef was sent into Egypt. He was but a youth. 17 years old. And when he began to rule Egypt, he was 30. You see that in the 46th verse. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So all this took 13 years. And he was but 17 years old. Let me show you that also so you can see how this began. Why is this so important? Because you got to ask yourself, and you want to know the answer, is the glass half full or half empty? And how can you even know the proper answer without knowing the beginning, the origin, its start? You got to know the beginning. And let me show you that. Genesis 35. And then Genesis 37. Turn there. Genesis 37. And we're going to start the fifth verse. This is what it says. Start at the third verse. "Now, and Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." And oftentimes, this is what people do. When they they don't feel the love that they're looking for, they will start hating on other people. And Yosef dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated yet the more. And he said to them, "Here I pray you this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding these in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance unto my sheep." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come bow down ourselves to you to the earth?" And his brothers envied him. But his father observed the same. In other words, he considered what he was saying. Even though it made him mad, he considered it. And his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Yosef, "Do not your brothers feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray you, see whether it is well with your brothers, well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in a field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seek you?" And he said, "I seek my brothers. Tell me, I pray you, where they feed their flock." And the man said, "They are departed away, for I've heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Yosef went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into the pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass when Yosef had come to his brothers, that they stripped Yosef out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him, cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and herb, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Yehuda said to his brother, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brothers were content. Then there passed by many a night merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Yosef out of the pit, sold Yosef to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Yosef into Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Yosef was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brother and said, "The child is not. And I, where shall I go?" And they took Yosef's coat, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it is your son's coat or not." And he knew it. And said, "It is my son's coat." And the evil beast had devoured him. Yosef is without doubt torn in pieces. And Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And I may add, this is the first time, the first person that you will ever read in the scriptures that tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for many days. The very first person, your father Jacob. So no, this custom didn't come from other people. This came straight from your father. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. He refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into my grave until my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And immediately night sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and the captain of the guard. And of course, no matter where Yosef went, Yahweh was with him. And here's a man that was hated by his brothers, sold into the Midianites, who sold him to Egypt. You would think this person, this man, is cursed. But by no stretch of the imagination, because that's what how we think. We think when something is going bad, it's evil. And when something's going good, it's a blessing. Not realizing, not understanding, not with wisdom, that what we think and what we see as good, Yahweh see it as bad. And what we see as bad, Yahweh see it as good. For Yahweh's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. The way y'all do things is nothing like you would do it. That's why your vision and your thoughts and your ways must be born through Yahweh and not through your own eyes and your own wisdom and your own thoughts and your own ways. Yahweh told us to forsake that. And let me show you that in the book of Isaiah. Or, yes, Isaiah 55. Let me show you this. Because Israel, at some point in time, you're going to have to show where your vision is, where your unity is, where your trust is. Are you building in Yah at? And you're not building in vain. You're going to have to show where your strength lies. Your trust. You're going to have to show your wisdom. And your money. In the book of Isaiah 55, this is what it says. The sixth verse. Seek you Yahweh while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Yahweh want to know. He want to see. Are you thinking about yourself in a time of trouble? Or do you have the vision to see how you can help other people? And we read to you in the book of Psalms 41 and 1, where it says, let me read it to you again so you can see why it's so important. Psalms 41 and 1. Blessed is he that considers the poor. Yahweh will deliver him in the time of trouble. Yahweh will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and you shall not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. That's what Yahweh will do. And furthermore, let me show you something else Yahweh will do. In the book of Isaiah 58. Third verse. Why have we fasted, say they, and you see not? You see what we're trying to do, Yahweh. But you're doing that for yourself. Why have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. When that's going to stop? In other words, if you're not fasting for strife and debate, then why are you striving and debating? If your fast is not about strife and debate, then prove it. Stop striving and stop debating. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to Yahweh? And watch what Yahweh say. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And to break every yoke. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? And that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of Yahweh shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and Yahweh shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity, and your darkness be as the noonday. And Yahweh shall guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat your bones, and you shall be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now do you see what can happen if you got wisdom, if you got money, during the time of trouble? And do you see blessings if you're not thinking about helping self, delivering self, but your heart, your mind, your spirit is to be helped, is to have a thought to help other people, to deliver them, to save them, even as your Father yourself did do. And why else should you do this? Watch what it says in the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter. Sure, you need money in a time of trouble. How are you going to deliver souls? Daniel, the 4th chapter, the 27th verse. Therefore, King, let my counsel be acceptable to you, and break off your sins by righteousness, your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of your tranquility. In other words, if you want your sins that everybody know they're doing, break them off by righteousness, your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And how do you do that? How are you going to do that? And a lot of people, they're not showing mercy at all. They're not even considering the poor. By no stretch of the imagination. Yahweh know. They just pretending. But who's doing the real work? Psalm 72. Watch what it says. The first verse. Yield the king your judgments, O Elohim, and your righteousness unto the king's son. And why? This is why. Second verse. He shall judge your people with righteousness and your poor with judgment. There's only one way to judge the poor, and that's helping them out. That's the only way. Fourth verse, he shall judge the poor of his people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. And let me show you the bottom line. Show you what Yahweh is all about. This is the bottom line. And this is what Yahweh is all about. This is what make one an Elohim. And if you're not doing this, you can't call yourself an Elohim. Watch what it says in Psalms 82, the first verse. Elohim stands in the congregation of the Most. He judges among the Elohims. How long will you judge justly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Watch what it says. Defend the poor and fatherless. How are you doing that? Do justice to the afflicted and needy. How are you doing that? Because this is what an Elohim will do. Deliver the poor and needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course because nobody helping the poor. I've said, you are Elohims. And all of you are the children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, fall like the one of the princes. Arise, O Elohim, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. This is your charge. This is your mission. This is your Elohimly mission and quest in life. So it's up to you. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.